All right. Good evening, everyone. We have Laurie Heath and Rob Tressler on the line with us today doing our podcast for Rotten Real Girls. And Laurie and I are friends on Facebook. She's out of San Francisco, and she does a lot of tuna fishing. And she has a friend on the line with her that's going to talk to us a little bit about the San Diego Blood Bank, because he's also a big fisherman, but he's also in charge of the blood bank. And in lieu of what's going on with the virus, I would like for everyone to hear what he has to say. So, Laurie, go ahead and introduce yourself, and then, Rob, you come on after her and introduce yourself and give us a little bit of information about what you're doing.
Hi, my name is Laurie Heath, and I'm from San Diego, California. I'm an angler, local angler here, and I fish for the San Diego I have a bluefin obsession. Really love getting out on the water. We go out on sport boats and love going out for different species, but bluefin is my favorite to target. And I love to try to get more women and support more women and get them into fishing. It's a great industry over here. We have several fleets and landings for people to go out of, and the San Diego area is just a wonderful place for fishing. And here's Robert Tressler. Yes.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rob Tressler. I'm the vice president of San Diego Blood Bank, and the laboratory systems are basically overseeing all of the blood products and transfusion products and cell therapeutics that are produced by the San Diego Blood Bank. And I want to thank everyone for allowing me to basically speak to the audience about the urgency of our blood supply right now nationwide. It's become critical, frankly. We're on the verge of looking at possibly rationing blood, although right now we're not needing to do that at all, and we're hoping with the goodwill of the donors that we can avoid that situation. Hospitals have been notified nationwide to please begin deferring or delaying elective surgery procedures so we can make sure that our blood supply is available for those in urgent need at times going forward. Now, as far as what you can do, it's perfectly safe to donate blood. The Department of Health and Human Services in Washington, D.C. has reviewed how we do it. We've always practiced what are known as universal precautions. We're now also disinfecting between each donor event. We pre-screen the people that come in to donate prior to allowing them access to the facility to make sure that they're in good health. We interview them in terms of their donor history, in terms of travel that they might have been doing in the past couple of months that might be relevant to the coronavirus risk. And we ask them if they are at risk to please defer, come back at a later date when they've documented their health has been good for a period of time, and donate then, but not to come in now. So our practices, ironically, the blood banks are probably one of the safest places to go and hang out. We have the social distance 6-foot parameters in place for all of our facilities and processes that we're doing right now to collect blood. It's perfectly safe to do so. There's no evidence at all that donating blood in any way affects your immune system and its ability to fight off the infection. And in fact, we know from clinical studies that donating blood is actually good for you. So we're putting an all-points bulletin out to the community to please consider donating. If you've done it in the past, all the better, because you're experienced, you know the drill. Make an appointment with your local blood bank and do so. If you've never done it, it's a great thing to do. A single unit of blood can save 3 people's lives. And in the U.S. alone, in 2017, over 5 million people's lives were saved by blood transfusion products. In California, where we live, almost 500,000 people's lives were saved. So obviously, it's a big deal to run out of this very precious product. Our staff is there 24/7. The typical operating hours are 8 to 5 for most blood banks to do the collection, so it's a convenient time for you. And for those of you that are now at home, because of your job situation, which hopefully isn't too traumatic, please consider coming in. It's safe. It's the right thing to do. Towards the community, and God forbid that you or a loved one would need that blood product, you'd like to know that it's on the shelf and available.
Well, Rob, can I ask you a few questions, if you don't mind?
Go right ahead.
Okay, is this facility a standalone, or is it connected to a hospital?
I'm sorry?
Is this facility, your lab, is it a standalone, or is it connected to a hospital? where they're going to go to donate blood.
Yeah, we are basically a public blood bank. We're a nonprofit, and we serve any hospitals that need blood. We do have standard agreements with a group of 40 hospitals across Southern California that we are primary blood suppliers to. But if another hospital, you know, goes into triage mode, or if there's a mass casualty situation, and another hospital someplace else in the nation needs blood, we will accommodate that. In fact, in 9/11, we were the first out-of-state blood bank that supplied blood to New York City during the 9/11 tragedy, because we had a relationship with the Navy, the U.S. Navy, and their jets were the only aircraft allowed in the air at the time. It was no-fly for all commercial aircraft. But we made an agreement with the Navy and actually had Navy transports carry blood from here to New York City at 9/11 to supply the blood needs there, because even within the state of New York, they couldn't fly, they didn't have military access, and we got there first. We were one of the first blood banks to supply. So we don't pick and choose. If a hospital puts out the 911 for blood and we have it available, we'll certainly try to accommodate that.
Okay, I just want my listeners to understand that, of course, I am located in Louisiana. You are located in California, but we're trying to network to get the word out of how bad you need to get people in to donate blood. So we're trying to network through the internet and through social media to get the word out.
Absolutely. In fact, we work with LifeSouth, one of the larger blood bank organizations in the South. We've supplied blood to them, and they've supplied blood to us at times. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for helping to strengthen that network.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're also an avid angler, and you're from Louisiana, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am. Lake Charles, Louisiana. Actually, from a small town called Sulphur, Louisiana. I went to McNeese State University. That's where I got my undergraduate and my master's degree. And then I betrayed Louisiana, and I went to the University of Texas to get my doctorate degree.
Okay, and so now you landed over in San Francisco.
San Diego. I originally was up in San Francisco in the biotech sector. I've now taken this position at the San Diego Blood Bank as basically head of their laboratories and head of the research and development initiatives that we have at the blood bank. We're not just a blood bank. We actually generate cells that are used as immunotherapeutics to treat cancer patients too. We're non-profit, we're quiet. We're that invisible red fire hydrant on the corner of the street that you don't even realize it's there until you need it, and when you need it, you're really, really glad it's there.
Yeah, well, so this is a facility we don't have to worry about it closing during this virus panic.
No, we can't close down. We're considered part of the police, fire, and rescue entities here. We're a critical part of the welfare public health net that underpins society here in the U.S. So we will keep going, you know, we will not stop.
Do people need to make an appointment to come in and donate blood, or they can just show up at the facility?
Yeah, no, you can walk in. Please, if you happen to drive by and it pops in your head, by all means, making an appointment is more about accommodating you and your personal schedule, and so we'll be ready for you, so it's nice if you can do that, but no, you don't have to at all. If you walk through the door, we will make time for you and collect the blood, because we really do need it.
Well, I know normally you have buses that would go out on a location. Are y'all doing any of that right now?
That's why we're having trouble. Most of our mobile blood drives are being canceled, because typically we'll hold those in schools, churches, public functions, or public groupings, because we have to have at least for a blood drive, for us not to lose a lot of money, if we don't make money at it, but just to make enough, you know, to make it cost justifiable, we need at least $25 to $30 to show up for a blood mobile drive for break even for us. And because of all the cancellations we're having and the fact that the majority of our blood comes from mobile blood drives, it's really tough right now for us. So we're actively recruiting and asking people to come in to our sites. The primary center where I work near downtown San Diego, then we have five other remote facilities out through Southern California that you can drive to as well. We do typically 45 mobile blood drives a week year-round, and we've lost over 50% of those blood drives because of this virus. So it's an issue for us.
So right now, y'all in dire need of blood donors.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Okay. So at the end of the podcast, we're going to put up the links and phone numbers and so people can get back to you if they want to come in. They can call. They can ask questions. I know a lot of people are scared about these things right now because we're dealing with the unknown. And that's setting up a lot of panic, just not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah. And the unknown, you know, all we have to fear is fear itself. So everybody should stay calm. Practice common sense health practices. If you're out and about, you can be out and about. Just keep 6 feet of distance from strangers, okay? Wash your hands, disinfect them, and try to avoid, although honestly it's hard for me to do it, avoid touching your face. Those, if you do that, that'll resolve 80 or 90% of the risk right there. If you think you're infected or were exposed, for heaven's sake, don't go into crowds and interact closely with other people. We're trying right now globally, not just nationally, but globally, we're trying to stop this virus from spreading throughout the human species dead in its tracks. We want to prevent it from becoming established long-term. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to be successful at it, although it has been done in the past for other diseases. But that's why we need to be really, really conscientious. And it's the golden rule. Do what you would want someone to do for you.
Yeah, well, I understand that. I did run into a few people this past weekend that were from San Diego, California, and I had no idea that I would be having you and Laurie on the podcast, or I would have gotten more information from them from what location they were from. You know, maybe they could be donors as well, but I didn't get a whole lot of information from them. But I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the fishing over there. And then if you have anything to add at the end of the podcast, you know, any numbers or links or anything else you guys want me to put up, I'll be more than happy to do that. I do know that Laurie has, we've talked about me coming over and fishing with you guys, maybe catching a tuna, and then maybe her coming over to Louisiana and doing some light tackle fishing.
We would love that. I'll let Lori give you the demo. The fishing's been awesome for bluefin.
Awesome.
But, I'll let Lori pipe in as well.
Okay.
Obviously, she and I have been very blessed. I mean, the San Diego fishery this year has been off the charts. I mean, the fact that you can go out and catch world-class bluefin tuna up to almost 200 pounds already this month, and not just one, but everybody catching lettuce and getting bit multiple times by these monsters, and they're really healthy fish. By the way, people say, oh, you have to be careful of mercury in tuna. That's not true. It's true for swordfish and for albacore, and it's true for certain species of shark that the mercury content is high. But in tuna, while they do have mercury in them, they also have another metal called selenium in them. Selenium binds to the mercury, and it inactivates it, and you pee it out. So you need tuna till the cows come home, and you're not going to hurt yourself. So it's a really healthy source of protein, and my goodness, are they pulling hard right now. They're biting the paint off the boats at times out there. It's really been amazing for us.
Really fun.
But I want to take her to Louisiana to do some shallow water red fishing and let her hook a bull red on a light tackle spinning gear setup. I just want to stand back and watch that. That would be fun.
Well, y'all are welcome anytime, and we're going to set that trip up. And like I told Laurie, that tuna's on my bucket list. I don't know when I'll be able to make it over there. But I've seen the videos and the pictures you guys have been putting up. And Rob, you put up some excellent fishing reports. I'm going to be sharing some of those. I mean, that is just awesome, some of the reports you've been putting up.
Well, thank you. And it's knowledge is power. And I do it partly for selfish reasons, because the way these bluefin tuna behave is that if you hook one, the probability, if someone on the boat hooks the tuna, it makes the other tuna activate and start to eat. So I'm thrilled. Instead of going, oh, darn, I wish he wouldn't have caught it, but I caught it. I said, yay, he got bit. Get ready, because that'll oftentimes trigger the school to start biting all the other baits. So the more people that know how to catch those fish and hook them, the more fish I can catch, too.
Well, that is awesome.
It's really fun to get out there and watch it. And me too, when I see somebody hook up, I'm like, yay, I think my turn's next, because it does activate the school. It's almost like the Romans, you know, they were feasting while they were watching them fight each other. And we'd love to have you out here, Wanda, and we'd love to host you and bring you up, and I'd love to get you on film and tackling a big tuna. That would be awesome. Fall is a great time to come out, just to let you know. We're fishing for them right now, but fall is our biggest year, so if you can
plan something around that time, we'd love to have you.
Well, that sounds...
And other flavors of fish, yeah, in the fall, you've got yellowtail, yellowfin tuna, dorado, or mahi-mahi, as we call them, and a variety of other species that we can go after in case it's fishing, you know, sometimes you go out there and the bluefin don't want to bite. Well, you've got plenty of options in August, September for other things, and you're not going to be disappointed. And it's very cost effective. I mean, a day and a half trip is between $300 and $400, and typically you would pay thousands of dollars to go out and catch the caliber of fish.
Oh yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Is it a head boat, like a per person? I mean, y'all probably have how many people do you have on that boat?
Anywhere, depending on the boat size, you have anywhere from typically 23 to 32 people on the boat. But the crews and the boats are large. These are 90-foot long vessels, so you've got 180 feet of rail space to fish on. And it gets hectic at times if you've got 5 or 10 people all hooked up to 100-pound class bluefin at the same time. Invariably, there'll be some tangles. Like we tell people, you know, the best thing to do when it starts to get a little tangly, look ahead, look where your line's going, communicate with your fellow angler, I'm under you, I'm over you, and adjust accordingly. And the other thing I tell folks is breathe through your nose, stay calm. You have a much higher likelihood of capturing that fish if you stay calm and focused, because these are big game fish, and a bluefin can travel at 40 to 45 miles an hour. If you have 120 to 150 pound fish going that fast, you're going to believe that it's going to dump all the line off your reel. But if you wait, you've got your drag set properly, eventually they slow down and you can bring them to the boat. But yeah, there's plenty of room, and you have deckhands, and they'll typically, with the angler that's bit, one of the deckhands will hover and be available to either take the rod for a second while you adjust things, to help you adjust things or untangle you if need be. So you'll have like a wingman there while you're fighting your fish, especially if you let them know you're a rookie, it's the first time you've ever done it. They'll stick with you, they'll hang with you to make sure that you're successful. Once you get the hang of it, you know what you're doing, they'll go work with other people if need be, but if you're new to it, they'll be there for you. And don't forget, if it's your first bluefin, you gotta take a little bite out of the heart.
Oh, I don't know about that one, but I do know that I've seen quite a few on Laurie's page and some big fish, and she's out there going after it, and it's what we aspire to do is get some of the women on board, say, hey, you know what, you can do this too, you know, and that's on my bucket list, and I appreciate everything that Laurie's doing out there to help other women get on board fishing and to promote our industry with the women in it, and there's more and more getting on board as we speak. And I think this year is going to be, with everything that's going on, we're still going to have a good year. We're still going to get through this. That's my belief.
Yeah, the boats are still going out, even with this coronavirus thing going on. They're practicing a lot of cleaning and disinfecting practices, even more so than what they already do. The crews are always on it. We were just on a trip this last weekend, and they're like the night captains going up and down the rails and spraying, you know, with all kinds of cleaners to make sure everything is disinfecting. And they wipe down all the different cabins and things like that just to make sure everything is safe for you. So far it hasn't affected that yet, and hopefully it won't. We have two plans for this weekend to go out again. So we're hoping that they do stay open. And so I say, you know, if you're closed up, get out and go fishing. Get some more ladies, and you know, there's shore fishing. You can go out to stand by and get out, but keep that distance, like I said. But get yourself out there. Grab one of your girlfriends and say, let's just go. Let's meet up and let's go catch some fish and get something else on our mind rather than this coronavirus thing. You know, let's go have some fun.
Oh, yeah, so fishing is definitely an emotional attachment to me. I mean, when I'm out there on the water, it's like I'm in my zone. You know, that's where I belong. That's where I want to be. That's my happy place, you know, being out there on the water. It's nothing like it.
Yeah, a lot of women don't realize, too, they're better anglers than they would think. Women, when they go, they have more patience and they listen. Men, and I don't want to put down any men for this, but they kind of come in with their own preconceived notions and their ideas and these set things that they know what they're doing, and that's fine. But women come in there, when they start fishing, they're calmer, they listen more, and they want to learn, and they're just more relaxed. And there's something about being on the boat and out there in that big blue ocean that just fills your heart and your soul, and it's amazing. And then you're catching fish and meeting new people and other women with that are like-minded. And it's funny, but you get hooked really easy. And it's just a great group of people and a great network of friends that you can meet through it, and just have a good time.
Well, I love it. And I always say I never meet a stranger. And like my friend Melissa McGuire says, that every fishing trip is an adventure. It's a learning process. We don't know everything. Every time we go out, we learn. I learn something new. And to be able to share, and to be able to share that with other women, and it's amazing, you know, the what you get back from it. I mean, it really is.
It really is. I've met some really amazing women. You yourself, I'd love to meet you in person, but through Facebook, and I've met a lot of really great ladies that I do call friends, and that our connection is through fishing. And I never would have met these wonderful women if I didn't get into the fishing industry. And I just, I can't get enough of it. If I feel a little grouchy, I just go out on the water, and everything is fine. It's like therapy.
Yes, I carry a fishing rod in my truck, so you know, somebody might see me stop on the side of the road and cast if I see some activity, or if there's somebody bank fishing, I'm going to stop and talk to them, ask them what they're catching. At first they're a little shy or a little like, what are you about? When they realize, you know, hey, this is what I do, this is my passion, this is what I love, they'll start talking to me about what they're catching, what kind of bait they're using, the rod, the reel, whole, you know, the whole nine yards. They're ready to talk.
Yeah.
Because they love fishing.
That's
too.
Awesome. Yeah. Like I said, it is a great opener to making friends. I agree with that. And the conditions do change when we go out. I do learn every single time. You don't always know everything. What worked yesterday doesn't always work, you know, the next day. Everything changes. You have to be prepared and be ready. But also, it's like I said, friendships you make and the bonding, and people share their ideas. And what I think is, when you're on the boat, so what's really important is somebody's off catching and hooked up. Watch what they're doing. Ask what they're using. What size line? What size hook? Or if they use the jig, what color? What was this? What were you doing? How deep were you fishing? You can kind of go, wait a minute, he caught, let me see if I can go back and switch my stuff up and see if I can get it too. And, you know, I always keep the communication open with everybody on the boat and always watching where on the boat are they catching, what are they doing different, because they are hooking up and I'm not. And that is the key to be successful and to be able to get bit. So it's kind of it's great. Everybody becomes friends after that. You get on a boat with a group of strangers, and you end up really wanting, you know, to get on Facebook with people and connect and go out and fish and share the rail with them again. It's just it's a great network. I encourage any lady angler or somebody that has never fished before, come out, meet other women that do fish, and make new friends. And you'll realize what a great community it is for us ladies. And I'm going in May. I'm going to be at the Bates on the Bay Texas tournament, the largest saltwater tournament for women. I have a group of lady anglers. We have Wendy Tashihara from Iserline, which is a fishing line here in California, and then we have Sophia Hahn and Lori Mueller from Tanker, and I think. Blackwater fishing line, I think what Sophia is that with. And we're a team of four, and we're going to go out there and hopefully get on some reds and some speckled trout. And we're going live bait this year. So, but this is a great way to get a lot of ladies out there and fishing together. It's an all women's team. It's so amazing. If you guys get a chance, check it out. Go online and check out the Bates on the Bay in Texas.
That's what I was going to ask you, if it was located in Texas. I was invited out last year, but I was obligated to so much, you know, in Louisiana, that I wasn't able to get out there. And ICAST is my big deal of the year that I like to attend, because there's so many people there. There's so many new products. And I go in as a media spokesperson. And it's wonderful to get to meet so many new people that's in the fishing industry. And there's a lot of them that's really very, very supportive of the lady angler. And one of them I'm hoping to meet is Angie Scott. She has the Woman Angler Adventure podcast. And maybe you can Maybe, I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but if not, you...
Yes. No, I have. She was here in San Diego, and I was supposed to meet up with her, but then she had some time issues, and I was going to be on her podcast. But then she had to get back home, so we're going to set something up for later. She seems really amazing, too. I would love it if you guys both could come to Texas and be there. That would be great.
Well, that would be awesome. I actually missed her at ICAST last year because we had that hurricane we had to deal with last year. So when I did get to ICAST, I was kind of scattered around, and a lot of my people left early. I missed a lot of the seminars and things that, you know, I really, really was disappointed over, but I told her we'd catch up this year. Hopefully she's going to be in Venice, Louisiana this year at a tournament they're having over there, and I'll be able to meet up with her. But I think she's going to be on my podcast tomorrow. That's the plan anyway. And
Well, tell her I said hi, for sure.
I certainly will. And if there's anything that you would like to add as far as the blood bank, Rob, before we wrap this up, I mean, like I said, I'll definitely put up the links, and I'll definitely put it out there and promote it, and I'll ask my social media audience to share it as well.
So you can just, if you Google San Diego Blood Bank, or just text sandiegobloodbank.org, it'll take you to their website where you can contact them to make arrangements. It also contains phone numbers for the San Diego Blood Bank. You can call as well. If you're in Louisiana, I mean, there are other blood banks across the nation that also need it.
Yes, we do. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we do. Louisiana, our blood banks are in need of blood donations as well.
Yeah, so wherever you are, if you hear this, please, please consider going to your local blood bank, and you can just simply Google it. Like, if you're in Southern California, sdbb.org or sandiegobloodbank.org will lead you right to the source where you can then make arrangements online for a reservation, or you can get the phone number and call in for a reservation by phone.
Okay, well, thank you. And Laurie, I'm looking forward to fishing with you, whether it's in Louisiana or in California. You know, I would love to get one of those tunas off my bucket list, but if you happen to get this way first, so be it. And I love your page. I love what you're doing. And thank you so much for friending me and following me on Facebook and the other social media sites.
It's a pleasure, Wanda. And I love your site, too, what you're doing for women. You're the biggest, you know, champion of getting women on the water and supporting all different lady anglers. And I just want to thank you for that. And I'd love to get down there, get over there and fish with you and get on one of those bull reds, dude. That's on my bucket list. So we'll go ahead and treat each other and get each other bucket list taken care of for sure.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And thank you so much for being a guest on my podcast. And you too, Rob. And we're going to put up those
You're
links.
Welcome.
And phone numbers, and see what we can do to get some donors over to your blood bank.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. And you guys, ladies, get out there, catch the big one.
And fish on.